Welcome to Care Partners Compass, Navigating CRC. My name is Elsa Lankford. I am the care partner to my incredible wife, Christine, who has stage 4 colorectal cancer. As a disclaimer, this podcast and its content is for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests on this podcast are their own personal opinions. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation. This podcast does not contain medical or legal advice. Please consult your medical professional about any medical questions or concerns. Welcome to take 3 of the podcast episode on surgery from a stage 4 care partner's perspective. I'm reaching back in my memory bank, which is part of my problem. Although it's a good problem to have, that there's been a lot of time since Christine's first surgery. I'm going to focus on leading up to, during, and after her liver surgery. This was back in January 2022. She was diagnosed in July 2021, and she had a lot of liver involvement. The main goal was to have chemo work to get to surgery, and there was a 20% chance of her getting to that liver surgery. A couple months into the chemo, there were scans, and they were showing some progress that the chemo was working, and her metastases were getting smaller, which is excellent. Her tumor markers, her ctDNA, her CEA, those were both going down. In December, so that was about 4 months after diagnosis, the liver surgeon wanted a MRI of her liver. MRIs provide a much clearer view of the liver for a surgeon. Based on the MRI, the liver surgery was a go. So at that point, there was about a month to prepare for surgery. When I say prepare for, as a care partner, it's helping your loved one get ready for surgery. Christine has listened to the second take of this podcast, and one of her comments was that was her biggest fear was surgery. And while I knew that surgery was a tough obstacle for her, it really helped put it into perspective how much of a emotional and mental roller coaster that was for her. She had never really been in a hospital before, and here was going to be this huge surgery. When they talk about risks for surgery, by the way, I always thought that risks meant the risk of what happens during the surgery. But when you're talking about cancer, it's actually the risk of what happens when you're off chemo for that long. She needed to be off chemo for a month before and then at least a month after. And that kind of goes back to translation and using a word like risk that means something different to the doctor than it does to the care partner and the patient. So as she was getting ready for the surgery, there were some changes that were made. We had a month for her to get ready, and she really took this one herself. I was there more wearing a little bit of a chef's hat and a little bit of a cheerleader hat. But really, she is the one that did the main work. She ate more protein, less carbs. She was already not eating that many carbs because she was diet-controlled diabetic. And protein, we're both vegetarian, so just kind of working protein in as much as we could to the diet. She did a lot of core and abdominal exercise, so sit-ups, yoga, anything that kind of helped her core, because this was going to be a big abdominal incision. And cardio. We live on top of a hill, and she was running up and down the street in winter. Not everybody is going to be able to do this for so many different reasons, but this was part of what she needed to do to feel ready, because I could kind of see And here, as she was getting herself ready for the surgery, and that involved her saying, "I am ready." At first, that would be, you know, somewhat hesitant. It was like a mantra to her. Her voice would be more and more steady. And then it was more like a, not exactly a shout, but you could kind of see over time as she was preparing herself. There are also some things that we needed to get ready for the house. We have a 2-story house, and I didn't know if stairs would be a problem, but it turns out that that was not an issue. But we did get some wedge pillows because I had read, and at this point I was starting to get involved with social media groups about colorectal cancer. So I was learning, A, how much I didn't know, because I thought I knew something, and I really didn't. But I was able to see how other people prepared for liver surgery, what it entailed, and I was able to ask questions. Before that, I had felt like we were so isolated. And in finding a community of people who were also going through this, it felt a lot less alone. So I'm probably not going to talk about the surgery itself too much, because my memory is bad. I just will say that it was, from a care partner's point of view, very stressful. It was during a COVID peak, so I couldn't be in the waiting room. I had to be home and getting texts every 2 hours saying that things were going okay. It was a 9-hour surgery. I was really going crazy at home. I was trying to distract myself with video games and, you know, talking to friends and keeping them in the loop, because that made me feel like I was doing something. But yeah, it was super stressful. And then I heard from the surgeon that the surgery was a success. During the surgery, they had done an ultrasound so that they could see if there was anything else. And they found another liver met on the back of her liver. They tried to remove that as much as they could, but it was up against a bile duct and he couldn't damage the liver. So that was a question mark. And also the fact that her original big liver met had been so big that that created its own complications as well. That's why the surgery took so long. I'm putting a plug in here for second opinions. If Christine had gone to a different cancer center and just seen an oncologist, they may not have said that she could get to surgery because she had a very complicated set of factors in terms of how large her liver met was, that she had lymph nodes. Getting a second opinion is just so important. You need to be able to talk to a surgeon and ideally have surgeons talk to oncologists. It was just so lucky that she was able to be at a place where, from the get-go, she had a medical team that was looking at her case and not just one person. So back to the surgery. She stayed in the ICU overnight, and I was able to visit the next morning. This was January 2022, so peak COVID, code red at the cancer center. No visitors unless there is special permission. I knew that she needed to walk, but it seemed crazy that she was able to walk a lap just hours, essentially, after this 9-hour surgery. That next day, on the 4th, because Christine keeps her notebooks very organized, I have written down 3 laps, 1 in the ICU, 2 on the 4th floor, so that was where she was recovering, and 1 dance. So that was the day after a 9-hour surgery where she had essentially, you know, her entire abdomen cut open. And it's crazy. So luckily I was able to make friends with the person working on the hospital floor, and I was able to stay there. I had my stuff in the car anyway. There's a definite benefit to the hospital and to the nursing staff and techs to have somebody there, because that way she doesn't have to ring the bell each time for the nurse when she has to go to the bathroom. There's somebody there that can help communicate, that can keep track of what's happening, because she was on painkillers and it really helps to have somebody there. I'm also highly suggesting that if your loved one is going through a surgery, to be able to physically be there for them. is really important, I think. Another note that Christine gave me was about puzzles. It's all about distractions, and I'm going to do an episode actually with Christine on distractions. But we did puzzles, both physical puzzles and online, like word puzzles, to help pass the time, to help distract, as kind of a meditative type of thing, both in the hospital and before and after the surgery at home. She needed to stay there a few days. The surgery was on the 3rd. She was able to go home on the 8th. And just some helpful hints for things at home that you can get for your loved one or help advocate for. What was really helpful for her was an abdominal binder, because there was this huge incision, and abdominal, which is really hard to say, abdominal binder helped her kind of keep everything in and keep it together. And I think that helped her with pain, but also helped her mentally feel more like things were more stable. That was something we actually got at the hospital, but you can buy them online as well. Also, bringing a little pillow with you so that when your loved one comes home, they can kind of protect their incision from the seatbelt. So just a small little pillow that can go between the seatbelt and the incision. Wedge pillows were really helpful. I had read about that before and we had ordered it prior, because laying down flat for somebody that's had a big surgery like that, having them be able to get up is really painful. Whether you have a bed that can be adjustable with an angle or wedge pillows, so it's easier to get into and out of bed. Something that's really stable, like a side table or something to be able to hold onto to be able to get up out of bed, was also really helpful for her. Walking was really important for healing. Walking is important to Christine anyway. So not only was walking a way to get back to some kind of normalcy, it was also a way to help heal. And healing is what happens at home. There was a on-call doctor that had mentioned that hospitals are good for monitoring, but home is where the healing happens. Because there's so many lights, there's so many beeps. But when you get home, the healing needs to start happening. And that involves moving around and keeping your loved one in a good mental space. The way that Christine did this was, it was winter, and she would take a piece of firewood and walk it into the house. And then she would walk it around the house. And then she would do that multiple times so she was building up her strength. After you've had surgery, you can't lift very heavy things. There's a lot of things that you can't do. But this was something measurable that she could do, and that was helpful for her. And then puzzles. We did puzzles, and that really helped. Again, these are things that can be accomplished, but also are distracting. I'm looking back at the notebook, and by January 18th, she was back to remote work, and January 20th, back to 15,000 steps. This was a 9-hour surgery on January 3rd. So not everybody needs to be like that. And but it is kind of amazing. So 6 weeks after the surgery, she went back to chemo with FOLFOXIRI again, the combination of 5-FU and oxaliplatin and irinotecan. We met again with the liver surgeon at the end of February. By that point, her liver had completely grown back. It had grown back way before that. When you hear the words that your loved one has a nice, healthy piece of liver, those are things that you don't expect to ever hear or want to hear, but are very helpful when they come from a liver surgeon. So at that point, there had been a plan to do some number of chemos and then go to colon surgery. She did have her primary colon surgery in May of 2022. So she had liver surgery, then four chemos, and then her primary surgery in May. So the reason that I wanted to do this podcast on surgery, even though it's been a couple years since this surgery happened, is that liver surgeries don't happen as often, I think, as they should. So part of this is continuing to advocate for getting multiple opinions, including opinions from surgeons. And also just to have a sense of what the process is like. Hopefully from this experience, maybe as a care partner, you can get some ideas of what might help your loved one. There can be all different kinds of surgeries with cancer, and with colorectal cancer, liver is definitely the most common. And liver surgery changes the statistics. As a care partner, we need to help advocate for whatever gives our loved one the best chances. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Care Partners Compass, Navigating CRC. Please listen up for the next episode, which will come out next week. If you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app, you'll know exactly when the next episode comes out. I hope that you'll share the podcast with your friends and family. The transcript of Care Partners Compass, Navigating CRC, and additional links can be found on our website, carepartnerscompass.transistor.fm.